Well, good morning, Doorfeet Ohana. Amen. You know, it's just like the enemy. You know, he knows what we're going to be speaking of today. And he says, you know what? I'm not going to let the light on the cross go on today. Because I want to take the focus off of my son. But I want you to just not look with fleshly eyes. I want you to look with spiritual eyes and just see a bright light just shining from that cross this morning as my wife preaches. Amen? Don't let the little darkness fool you. That's the enemy trying to bring that. But just see a bright light. Just look at it with your spiritual eyes. Just see the light just shining also bright, because the enemy cannot take away our light. Amen? Physical eyes may not see it, but spiritual eyes, that cross is shining bright. Amen? So this morning, I have the privilege to introduce my other half. Amen? My backbone, my spiritual one that I couldn't do ministry without. Amen? And you all you men who has wives, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Amen? So this morning, I want to introduce Pastor Deborah.
Amen.
And she has the message today. She'll be blessing you with the message. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You know, I had a different outlook on the cross, Darren. Can I share it? Okay. When he came to me and he says, the cross light won't go on, I thought a little different. I was sitting there and I just thought, well, because sometimes it's kind of a somber mood when we talk about the cross. And when we talk about what the cost was at the cross. And so I thought, maybe that's what the Lord wants us to know this morning. That there was a great price that was paid at the cross of Calvary. And you know, so maybe that's why the light isn't on. Because he wants us to remember. Like when Pastor Stephen gave the communion this morning. We do it in remembrance of him. You know, my message this morning is titled, Nothing But the Blood. And I'm supposed to have some humor somewhere in there, but I forgot to put humor in.
So
okay, then I won't say what I was going to say. Because then you would all be laughing. But my message, again, is talking about nothing but the blood. And we used to sing a song before about nothing but the blood of Jesus. And as I was putting this message together, there was just song after song about the blood that we used to sing that just kept coming up into my memories and all. And I'm going to have to cut this short because I really want to talk about it, but I need to get to my message because my message is, you know, important. But I just want to say, as I'm bringing my message this morning, I hope that the blood songs will come to you so that when we leave service, those blood songs, you know, they mean things and they are deep. And we used to sing them in our homes and we used to sing them when we're driving in the car. And everywhere we go, we would have those thoughts in our minds. And our minds were always stayed on Christ. You know, and so that's where we want to be. We want to have our minds and our thoughts stayed on him because he is worthy. He's worthy of our worship and our time that we give to him. Amen. But, you know, the Bible speaks about blood as life. And we understand that blood is far more than just a biological fluid. It's a symbol of life itself. And blood is seen as an essential part of living things. With the basic principle, it says in Leviticus 17:14, it says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And do you know its critical factors for existence, for its existence to give life to every living creature? Hallelujah. They need the blood to flow in their bodies, to have life, to sustain life. On the other hand, in the Bible, we read or we hear the word shedding of blood. And you may think of life coming to an end or being made as a sacrifice when you hear these words. So we have life in the blood, okay? And we have the blood that's coming to an end, and its flow stops when it comes to an end. You know, I remember when my father was passing away, and he was in a coma, and I remember touching his feet. And this is kind of morbid, I'm sorry. But I touched his feet and it was really cold, really like ice cold. And so I knew there was no life there, but I told the doctor, his feet are so cold. And he says, you know, God made our body in such a way that he starts at points, he has to cut, stopping things so that others could function. So in order for his heart to keep functioning and the blood to keep flowing, there were other areas that started to shut down already. And I never forgot that. But, you know, it just tells us how important the blood is and that it has to flow to bring life into us, right? But in the tabernacle, when they had brought sacrifices, God had given them instructions. He gave them instructions on how to bring the sacrifice to the tabernacle doors. He gave them instructions on how to sacrifice the animals that were being sacrificed. He gave them instructions on how they were to present it to him at the altar. I mean, God was very specific about how we were to do things or how the priests were to do things with the offerings that were given. And he even told them how they had to slaughter the animals and which animals were to be chosen and things, right? So when the animals were sacrificed, when the priests took those animals and they sacrificed that life and the blood was flowing out of them, and then they took the blood and they took it to the altar and they sprinkled it on the altar. And all the time that they're doing these things, there was never any disrespect, but they always showed reverence for the blood, for the animal, for the sacrifice that was being made. Why is that? It's because it belongs to God. You know, these things are sacred and they belong to God, who is the giver of life. And it was holy and it was reverenced. The blood represented life itself and atonement for sins. Think about the word atonement, at one meant. So was it meant for our sacrifices? Was it meant for the Israelites as they brought their sacrifices? There was blood that was meant to be shed for the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. And it was so very necessary. Hebrews 9:22 says, so you see, the life of the blood is in the blood. However, the revelation of Jesus Christ actually, they wouldn't recognize that because it wouldn't come into another 2,000 years later, right? But how blessed we are that we get to see the full picture of that. So what was missing? They had blood that washed away the sin. They had blood that brought forgiveness. They had blood that covered them. Yet year after year, their sacrifices were required. They were missing a very important element. So I'm just going to ask that if we can just stand. I'm going to open us in prayer. And I'm going to read us some scripture. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I praise you, Jesus. And I give you glory. And I pray that, Heavenly Father, that we ask as we explore the deep truths of your word today, that you would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to understand. We pray that the power of the blood of Jesus would become more real to us That we would know how perfect, how precious, and how powerful the name of Jesus is and how powerful that blood is. So we thank you for this time this morning, for your word. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and we all say amen. So if you can remain standing while I just read the word. Exodus 12:5 says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. 1 Peter 1:18 through 19, it says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. You may be seated. So I read from the Old Testament, and you know, it was a time of the Passover, and the lamb had to be perfect, right? Well, Jesus is the perfect lamb sacrifice for us, and he was not only a lamb, he was the Son of God. He was without blemish and without spot. And we know that in the Old Testament, they would bring the lambs or the goats to the tabernacles for offering of sacrifice. In fact, in Hebrews 9:22, it says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with the blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no forgiveness, right? For sin without the shedding of the blood. So there's life in the blood. Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of the body is in its blood. I have given you the blood on the altar to purify you, making you right with the Lord. It is the blood given in exchange for a life that makes purification possible. It's his blood, his perfect blood that washed away our sin. And I forgot to tell you. This is my point number one, that his blood is perfect. Hallelujah. And so his perfect blood washes away our sin, my sin, your sin, hundreds of sins, thousands of people's sin. In fact, the word says it can wash away all sin, not some, but all sin. Why? Because his blood is perfect. It doesn't matter what you've done, how many times you've done it, whatever it may be, the blood of Jesus can cleanse you, and his blood can cleanse us from all sin. You know, in Leviticus 17, it begins with animals that are to be slain. And so I'm just going to kind of break down this chapter for you a little bit. So it begins with animals that are to be slain, and that the blood of the slain animals had to be brought to the sanctuary. So think on this. As I was reading all of this and studying for my message, I thought on this is that Jesus was slain. He was the lamb that was brought to the cross. As the chapter progresses, there are instructions that reveal that the offerings are intended to prevent ongoing idolatry. And the blood of a sacrificial animal is the life that takes the place of the offerer's death. And Christ took our place at the cross of Calvary. Here's another thought, that In the New Testament, we would often hear what Jesus tells others when he heals them, when he had forgiven them, when he delivered them. He would tell them, go and sin no more. So can we hear Jesus telling us that today? As he's forgiven us, as he's healed us, as he's delivered us, go and sin no more. This is why we take communion. This is why we do it in remembrance of him. Remembering the sacrifice and what he paid, what he has done for us, not what we've done for him, but what he did for us. How he shed his blood to wash away our sins. How he went to the cross so that we could be forgiven, that we can be delivered, and so that we can have life, and that we can have it abundantly. 1 John 1:7 reads, but if we walk in the light and he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So, if my point is that his blood is perfect, I want to explain why his blood is perfect. In the perfect, sinless blood of Jesus Christ, that's where everything is that is needed for complete cleansing. From sin, there's healing, there's deliverance, there's total victory for us to be winners and overcomers. You know, medical science shows that babies, they get their blood from their fathers. And so if a child is born and there's a question as to who that father is, they can take a blood sample from the male, and they can take a blood sample from the child, and they can look at the results of those trials, of the child and the male, and the doctor can declare whether or not if the DNA from that blood that was drawn, if that male is the biological father or not. So I'm curious, who was the father of Jesus? Do we ever stop and think about that? Because if it was Joseph, would not his blood be tainted with the Adamic sin from Adam? Would not his blood be like yours and mine? Just ordinary blood flowing through a man? But he didn't get his blood from Joseph, like we get our blood from our father. His blood is ordinary. His blood is special. His blood is so unique because he's God. He came as God in the flesh. And his father is our heavenly father. Amen? Hallelujah. Matthew 1:19-23, it says this, and her husband Joseph being a just man, excuse me just for a second. I have to apologize. This is the season that my sinuses go berserk on me. And today my sinuses are going berserk, so please forgive me if I have to use my Kleenex. Okay, I'm going to start all over. And Matthew 1:19-23 says, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and willing to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So, the blood of Jesus was perfect, and his DNA, we must remember, is not Joseph, it's not Mary, but it's God and God himself. Hallelujah. So his blood is perfect, his blood is pure, and his blood has power. Amen. My second point is his blood is precious. Precious meaning that something that cost at a great price. And this cost Jesus to die upon the cross. He willingly went to the cross. He made a once and for all sacrifice. It didn't have to be repeated over and over again. His blood is sinless. His blood is incorruptible. Hallelujah. John 3:14-16, and it says, as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Hebrews 10:4 says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. You know, the Old Testament sacrifices, they gave a forgiveness, but it was temporary. It just covered them. But Jesus' blood washes it all away. Hallelujah. He is the Lamb of God. John 1:29 says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Remember that song, redeemed, redeemed, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. 1 Peter 1:18-19, we read it earlier, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. No money, no gold, no amount of good works that we can do. Nothing, 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 nothing but the blood of Jesus is able to wash us and cleanse us and make us whole. Hallelujah. The Old Testament, that the scripture was talking about, the bronze serpent that was lifted up on the pole. You know, they were getting bitten by serpents. That was a judgment that was put on them for their disobedience, by the way. But they were being bitten by these serpents, and some of them were dying. And so they were crying out, and they said, Moses, Moses, go talk to God, right? So God instructs Moses, get your staff, a wooden staff, make a bronze serpent of the snake and put it on top of it and hold it up when they get bitten so that they have to look up to the serpent. And when they look up to the serpent and they see the serpent, then they will be healed and they will not die. What is this telling us today? That we need to look unto Jesus. We have to lift him up. We have to look up unto the Lord. You want healing? You want deliverance? You want freedom? What is it that you're needing today? Look unto the Lord. Look up for your redemption. Draweth nigh. Hallelujah. So we have to lift up the name of Jesus. We have to look unto Jesus. My third point is his blood is powerful. We're healed by his blood. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being deep to sin should live unto righteousness by whose stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Amen. Do you believe that? You know, when we get sick, we got to pray. Even pray. You can pray for yourself. You don't need to go to somebody and say, pray for me. Pray for me. Hey, let me tell you, community prayer is great. But you can also call on the name of Jesus. And Jesus can bring healing to you. Hallelujah. You just have to trust in the Lord. Look unto him. Because he's the author. He's the finisher of your faith. Have faith in God. Believe in him. And he will answer. Hallelujah. Jesus just didn't die to save us from sin. He died to heal us from the effects of sin. His blood brings healing to our bodies, our minds, and our spirits. Jesus is our high priest who provided a single superior sacrifice in a superior heavenly tabernacle. His tabernacle is in the very presence of God. What a holy tabernacle that he dwells in. Hallelujah. And when the veil was torn, he made a way for you and for me to make it to that tabernacle in heaven. Hallelujah. Jesus is our high priest. He provided that single superior sacrifice. Hallelujah. He purified our consciences and gave us direct access to God. We're forgiven by his blood. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I mean, sometimes some of us, yeah, that's a really true fact, that sometimes our sins are really scarlet, right? Though they be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. They shall be as white as snow. He washes away our sins, and he throws it. Where does he throw it? He throws it into the sea of forgetfulness. He doesn't dredge it back up to us. We dredge our own sins back up to ourselves, or maybe others might try to dredge it back up and throw it in our faces sometimes, but Jesus is not like man. And his word says that he throws them into the sea of forgetfulness to remember them no more. Hallelujah. We're justified by his blood. Romans 5:9 says, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Just if I never sinned, his blood sees us perfect. Just if I never sinned, he sees us perfect. That's how his perfect blood is. Amen. We're sanctified by his blood. Hebrews 13:12 says, so also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make people holy by means of his own blood. We're redeemed by his blood. Titus 2:14 says, he gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good works. Are we doing good works? Because God keeps his word and he's faithful. He's totally committed, it says. Are we totally committed to him? It is the power of the blood of Jesus that breaks the yoke of bondage of sin from our lives. It doesn't just forgive us and leave us in the grips of Satan. He cared that much for me. He cared that much for you. He doesn't leave us stranded. But our God cared. And he still cares today. Hallelujah. It's by the power of the blood of Jesus we experience freedom from sin. Sorry. I'm saying that a lot this morning. We experience the freedom of sin. We're set free from bondage and iniquity. And the blood of Christ breaks that yoke. And he's the one who sets us free from whatever Satan has wrapped around us. We have protection by his blood. You know, the Old Testament, Exodus 12:23 says, when the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter the houses and strike you down. Remember at the Passover, when they were getting ready to come out of Egypt, the Lord told them to take the goat or the lamb that was slain and take that blood, put it over the doorposts. Hallelujah. Notice, put it over the doorposts, on the top of the post and on the sides of the post. Look at the picture here. Do you see what I'm showing you? It's the cross. Because that's what it was for us. It was the cross. And when he sees the blood, he will pass over. We will not be brought to destruction. Hallelujah. There's power in his blood to protect us and to keep us. So we are to keep near to him and under his blood daily. So how are we applying the blood? How do we apply the blood to our lives? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We ought to declare the word of God over our lives, over our situations, over whatever it is that we are needing. We declare the word of God and we speak his word over our lives. He paid at a great cost for us. Hallelujah. But there's power in his word. There's power when we pray. There's power when we worship. Hallelujah. Isaiah 43:1-3, it says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. God formed us in our mother's womb. He knitted us together. He knitted us together in our mother's womb. And it goes on and it says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. He redeemed us. He's washed us. He's the one who's cleansed us. He took every stripe, every beating for us. At the cross, he bled for us. He says, it goes on and it says, I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. Nick, he says, thou art mine. Dana, he says, thou art mine. Tony, he says, thou art mine. Everywhere in this room, God is looking at you and he says, thou art mine. You are his. And it goes on and it says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, there thou shalt not be burnt. You know, whatever it is we go through in life, he is with us. We might be going through something that's just a little bit of water and we were having to tread a little bit, but God is with us. We might be going through some rivers and we might be struggling to stay abreast of and keep our breath going, but he's with us. We might be going through some fire and some trials, but God says, I'm there with you. So don't give up on him because he has not forgiven up on you. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, God deserves it. Not me, God. God is the one who saves us. God is the one who redeems us. Amen. If there's anything that I can share with you this morning, it is all God. God did it for us before we were even formed, before we were even thought of. God was already thinking about us. He says, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Thank you, God, that he was our Savior, that we don't have to go to a devil's hell. We don't have to worry about when we get put in a casket or they cremate us or whatever it may be because, oh, death, where is thy victory? Oh, grave, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? That's what the scripture says. There is nothing that Satan has over us that we cannot overcome because God gave us the power to overcome all things. All things, not some. He says, I give you the power and the authority to tread on serpents. I'm telling you, demons have to flee at the name of Jesus. When we take authority over the things that we are looking at, the things that we see in front of us, those that we don't even see that we know are coming our way, we pray in the name of Jesus and we pray authority over them and God will give us the victory through it all. Amen? Yeah. God loves us so much that he would even move nations out of the way to save us. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, it says, Remember you not former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. God is doing a new thing in our lives. Hallelujah. He's doing something new. And it says, now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God makes a way. Amen. Are you trusting in him and are you relying on him? Or are you running to some doctor and says, I need help. I can't get my head together. I can't get it all together. Let me tell you, we need to run to Jesus. Because he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Amen? Hallelujah. Excuse me. I have to blow my nose because I just love my sinuses. Because the last time I preached, I was... And pastor said, I could hear you sniffling. And then I went back and I listened and I heard myself sniffling and sniffling and sniffling. So I have to blow my nose. So what does this mean for us after hearing about the blood of Jesus? The blood that cost Christ to go to the cross and to die for each of us. How do we apply it? You hear about it. How do you apply it to your life? You can apply the blood of Christ in your life by using your faith. Is your faith strong this morning? Are you believing? Because it says you just need faith the size of a mustard seed. Have faith in God. To believe in its power for cleansing, for forgiveness, and to prevail. This involves confessing our sins. We don't have to run to somebody. Let me confess my sin. We go to Jesus and we confess our sins to the Lord. Trusting in Christ and declaring the promises of Scripture over your own life. Hallelujah. How can we apply it to our life? Are we treating others with kindness? Do we share the love of God? There are so many ways that we can apply it to our life. By our conduct, by the actions we make, by the actions and the things that we do. Are they Christ-like? Who are we exalting? As we sang this morning, I exalt thee. When our actions are being made and done and said, and I tell you, this is something that God has really been working with me on. Because I grew up and a lot of abuse from young to old. I'll share that. So sometimes I'm a little hard. And sometimes I say things hard. So God is working with me on that. Because I want to be the light. And I can't be the light if that is coming out in my life. I have to bury it under my feet, squash it down. And like I'm telling you and I'm preaching to you, we got to look unto Jesus. I have to look unto the Lord. I have to look unto my Savior. And I have to ask him, wash it away. Wash the thoughts away. Cleanse my heart. Make me whole. Make me new. I want to be a new creature in Christ. Are you wanting to be a new creature in Christ? Do you want the Lord to create in you a clean heart, oh God? Create in me a clean heart, oh God. And renew a right spirit within me. Not my husband, not my sisters, not my brothers, but me, oh Lord. I'm standing in the need of prayer. I'm standing, Lord, in the need of prayer. I need him. Do you need him this morning? I'm just going to conclude with this. Thank you. Dr. Charles Finney. Many of you may know him. He lived back in the 18th centuries. He preached on a text, and it was called The Blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, who cleanses us from all sin. It says, after the service, after he preached this message, after the service, a stranger asked him to walk with him home. Against advice by members of his church, Dr. Finney went with the man. Ushering the preacher into the rear of the building, the stranger locked the door and put the key in his pocket and said, "Don't be afraid. I'm not going to hurt you. I just want to ask you a few questions. Do you really believe what you preached today?" And Dr. Finney said, "I most certainly do." The man continued, "Well, we're in the back of a saloon. I'm the sole owner. Mothers come in here. They lay their babies on the counter and beg me not to sell liquor to their husbands. But I turn a deaf ear. And when the men leave there, I make sure they're well under the influence. More than one night, a man leaving here has been killed by the express at the tracks, Dr. Finney. Tell me, can God forgive a man like me? Dr. Finney replied, I have but one authority, the word of God, which says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. But that's not all, the man said. In another room, we run a gambling hall. If a man doesn't spend all his money on liquor, we bring him to the back here with marked cards. See to it he's fleeced out of his last dollar. We send him home penniless to a hungry family. Dr. Finney, tell me honestly, can God forgive a man with a heart like that? Again, Dr. Finney replied, I have but one authority, the word of God, which says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Well, that's not all. Across the street is my home where I live with my wife and a little daughter. Neither one has had a kind word for me for 5 years. Their bodies bear marks of the brutal attacks. Dr. Finney, do you think God could forgive a man with a heart like that? Dr. Finney's head lowered, his eyes filled with tears, as he said, my friend, that's one of the darkest pictures I have ever heard. But I still have one authority, which says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The man opened the door, ushered the preacher into the night, then left that room till daybreak. Not before ripping up decks of cards, pouring the contents of bottles down the sink. Across the road at his home, he sat in his living room. His little girl called, Daddy, Mother says breakfast is ready. When he answered his little girl kindly, she ran back to her mother. Daddy spoke kind to me. Something is the matter. The mother followed her little girl to the living room. The man grabbed them both, taking one on each knee. He explained they had a new husband and a new daddy. He ended, I'm done with that business across the street. The man later became a member and an official in a leading Detroit church. When asked to tell how his life was changed, he would reply, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. What can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, so precious is the flow that makes us white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. No other fount do we know but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Are your sins under the blood of Jesus today? I pray that our sins are under the blood. Hallelujah. We're going to stand and I'm just going to lead us in prayer as I'm closing. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your blood, your oh so precious blood that was shed for me, Lord. And for everyone that is here this morning, I thank you that you've washed us and you've cleansed us and you made us whole. and you made us new. This week, Lord, I pray that we remember, Lord, we remember the cost that you paid. Not only shall we remember, Lord God, I pray that this week, Lord, that we take time to worship you. Take time to read your word. Take time to say a prayer. Take time to come to church, even if it's not a Sunday, Lord, to come to have community one with another. Lord, let us be, Lord God, that iron that sharpens iron with one another, calling a sister or a brother and caring for others, not just focusing on ourselves. But as we focus on you, open our hearts to be open to focus on others also, Lord. Let our eyes see, Lord God, those that are in need, that we can share a prayer with them, that we can share the light, Lord God, into this darkened world, that we can be that beacon of light. Because you shed it all, Lord God. You went to the cross for us all. And you've called us to be like you, to follow you, to be the examples of Christ, Lord God. So I pray this morning that this message, that our songs of worship, that our communion, that all of these things will be on our hearts and our minds this week, remembering the cost of the blood that was shed. We love you dearly, Lord God, and we just pray that you would just continue to pour out your blessings upon us, upon our families, and upon each one. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Now, if any of you here are not saved, I ask you today to make the day your day of assurance. Because Joshua says to choose you this day whom you will serve. And today is the day. Don't wait till tomorrow, because tomorrow is not promised to anyone. We don't know when our day will come. Only God can say that. But today is the day that you can say yes to Christ. If there's anybody here that just needs prayer, you can come to the altar. We'll pray with you. If there's anybody here that needs healing, you can come to the altar. We will pray with you. Whatever a need is that you may have, you can come to the altar. And we have pastors here. And we have sisters that can share with us in prayer. And we'll pray one for another. Hallelujah. So in Jesus' name, we thank you. Thank you for joining us this morning. If you have not given your life to the Lord, I ask you to please come up and let us pray with you so that we can help you to walk that path, okay, in that journey. You're not alone. Okay? Love you. God bless you all. Thank you for joining us this morning. Hallelujah.